As priests, we've always been watchmen. Watch this and I'll be back.
Pay attention if you value Australia's sovereignty and your freedom of speech. There are mischievous, malicious, insidious forces that have taken both from you. This is Mark Liebler. He's a Melbourne-based Jewish tax avoidance lawyer, also known for his role as chairman of the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, IJAC, an influential lobby group advocating for Israel in Australia. Australian law, specifically the Foreign Influence Transparency Scheme Act, requires individuals and organizations acting on behalf of foreign principals, such as governments, to register to maintain transparency in political influence activities in Australia. Critics allege Liebler and similar figures in Australian Jewish organizations have not adhered to these registration laws, despite engaging in lobbying to shape and direct campaigns in Australia on Israel's behalf. The Act aims to combat foreign interference, espionage, and political manipulation, mandating disclosure of activities like lobbying government officials or shaping public opinion under foreign influence. Allegations include misuse of these processes to push for hate speech laws following incidents such as the Melbourne Adass synagogue fire, purportedly linked to Israeli political interests rather than the canard of foreign actors like Iran. Concerns have been raised about political reluctance to confront these influences and interference, including high-profile resignations within the Australian Federal Police over political interference to not connect Israel's role in perpetrating the Melbourne Adass firebombing and the false flag Durol caravan stacked with gelignite and a list of Jewish names. Both incidents were transparently Israeli to usher in hate speech laws to silence Australian critics of Israel and its agents operating on Australian soil. Some of the Australian Federal Police were disgusted by the interference in the investigations and findings that they resigned or took early retirement. It's the current job of AFP Commissioner Chrissy Barrett and ASIO to finger Iran for what Israel and its Australian proxies did in Australia, namely to commit acts of terrorism on Australian soil with a mop-up crew of Australian Jewish organizations to portray Australian Jews under attack, warranting ramming through laws without public consultation, curtailing freedom of speech in Australia to combat anti-Semitism, which Jews say includes the Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition, which includes criticism of Israel. This is precisely what Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu posted on X about the manufactured fake anti-Semitism in Australia. Netanyahu has been indicted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. There is an Interpol arrest warrant out for him. Australia should break off all relations with Israel while he remains as Prime Minister. The aforementioned is why Jewish organizations in Australia must be closely surveilled. They are corrosive, seditious elements in Australia working against the national interest. Now listen to Mark Liebler take some softball questions about IJAC and we'll be back.
You're not just a community leader, you're a leading community leader. You've been involved in the Jewish affairs for a long time. You're chairman of AJAC, which is the Australian-Israel Jewish Affairs Council. And you were just telling me that you're involved in anything to do with Israel, international affairs and anti-Semitism.
Yeah, insofar as the impact on the Jewish community. And we very much align with what is in Australia's interest. We're an Australian organisation.
So you work as a lobbyist, would you call that, or an influencer? That's what you've been called as.
I think it's fair to lobby. It's a term which carries certain connotations. What we do is we exercise our, like all other groups in the community, our right to. Try to get governments and various other groups of influence in the community to understand what our concerns are and to listen to our arguments. I mean, it's nothing more than that. That's what a democracy is all about. And we're part of that democracy. We're very happy to be part of it. I do believe that to the extent that we're successful and that we do carry certain influence in various quarters.
There you go. The stumbling, bumbling, guilty conscience Liebler, who is normally an eloquent public speaker, wants us to believe he and his Jewish cronies are simply exercising their democratic rights for domestic Jewish interests. Did you notice how he squirmed at the suggestion of lobbying? Mark Liebler and his cronies need to be dragged in by their shirt collars, questioned, investigated and charged if they've breached the Foreign Influence Transparency Act, which their Rambam free tours are about. Their influence peddling programs for the foreign state of Israel. IJAC runs these free all-expenses-paid tours of Israel for politicians and journalists. Hundreds of current serving Australian politicians and media personalities have been on these Jewish junkets to curry influence. These free tours, funded by wealthy Australian Jews, are designed to influence, compromise and create obligation on behalf of Israel. IJAC doesn't take targeted Australian decision-makers and influence-makers to Bali or Phuket. It chaperones them to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem to meet with key Israel government officials and visit attractions which advance Zionist narratives. Imagine if politicians were taken to China, North Korea or Iran to be groomed on all-expenses-paid tours. There'd be Australian community outrage. Even more humiliating, the groomed Rambam targets are expected upon their return to Australia to speak publicly at IJAC functions in favour of Israel and to recruit other Rambam targets and to influence Australian public opinion or government policy in favour of Israel, including over Australian parliaments and media. There is a growing call for investigations into Jewish organisations and their leaders, including Liebler, for any breaches of the foreign interference laws. Critics argue these Jewish groups project disproportionate influence, given Australia's relatively small Jewish population, drawing parallels to similar tactics used in the United States by the discredited US-American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, that too is now under heavy scrutiny for not registering as a foreign lobby for Israel under the United States Foreign Agents Registration Act, which is a near mirror of Australia's Foreign Influence Transparency Act. There's a mere 120,000 Jews in Australia. They use a panoply of organisations with self-important, pompous-sounding names to project and peddle influence far beyond the insignificant number of Jews in Australia.
On page 125 in your discussion of international affairs, you have a reference to Australia's role in the Security Council of the United Nations during the 1973 Middle East War.
Yeah.
And you say there that Sir Lawrence McIntyre was president of the Security Council when the war broke out, and you say that political pressure and even blackmail was brought to bear on you and your government, but despite that you gave him every support. What was the blackmail? How was it exercised, and who was responsible for it?
The blackmail was exercised by some heroes in the Australian Jewish community on the other side of the world from the hostilities that we should support Israel in the dispute between Israel and its neighbours. And, of course, my government at least pursued the expressed policy of all Australian governments to be neutral in those disputes and to take all steps available to Australia in resolving those disputes. And it would have been an appalling thing for us to come down on the side of, on one side, at the time that an Australian was in the key position of President of the Security Council. Now, if I may enlarge on this, since then, people in Australia should realise that there are now as many Arabs as Jews in Australia. There are as many Muslims as Jews. And we want everybody in Australia, of whatever racial origin, of whatever religious persuasion, to live in harmony and fruitful cooperation in this country of their adoption or their birth.
Whitlam doesn't name the specific seditious Jews for fear of the blowback. He'd seen their influence and power with his dismissal. Australia and America still have seditious Jewish traitors in its midst. They blackmailed former Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke. He was fully compromised, controlled and bought by Jews like the transport magnate Sir Peter Abels and a well-known retail magnate who is still alive and known to influence peddle in Australian public policy for Israel and Jewish interests. To commemorate Hawke's service to Israel, Israel eventually named a national pine forest after him. Hawke wasn't the last prime minister or politician coerced by Australian Jews who've sought to hijack Australia's foreign policy on behalf of Israel. US Congressman Thomas Massie is currently highlighting the exact same problem in America today.
Republicans who come to me and say, "That's wrong what AIPAC is doing to you. Let me talk to my AIPAC person." By the way, everybody but me has an APAC person.
What does that mean, an APAC person?
It's like your babysitter, your APAC babysitter, who is always talking to you for APAC. They're probably a constituent in your district, but they are, you know, firmly embedded in APAC. And
every member has something like this?
I don't know how it works on the Democrat side, but that's how it works on the Republican side. And when they come to DC, you go have lunch with them, and they've got your cell number, and you have conversations with them. So I've had like,
that's absolutely crazy. I've never heard this before.
It doesn't benefit anybody. Why would they want to tell their constituents that they've basically got a buddy system with somebody who's representing a foreign country? It doesn't benefit the congressman for people to know that, so they're not going to tell you that.
Have you seen any other country do anything like this? Like
no.
Russia obviously determines the outcome of our elections. We keep hearing that. Does anyone have a Putin guy that they talk to?
Not only do they not have a Putin guy, look, they don't have a Britain guy. They don't have an Australian guy. They don't have a Germany dude. Like, it's the only country that does this, that has somebody that, like, uniformly, I guarantee there's some spreadsheet at APAC where, where, you know, the APAC dude is, who's matched up with the congressman is there, and then all the congressman's votes on the issue. Oh, has the congressman been to Israel? They pay for trips for congressmen and their spouses to go to Israel. I'm not the only Republican who hasn't taken the APAC trip to Israel, but I'm probably one of a dozen that hasn't taken that trip, and the other ones just haven't got around to it.
The Jewish lobby and the American Israel Public Affairs Committee is the culprit in the USA. It's taken control of the Congress by buying, bribing, and blackmailing members. At APAC.com, you can see the list of Congress members who take Jews' money. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd and politician and Minister for Foreign Affairs Bob Carr were also targets of Australian Jews. In fact, the Jews worked against Rudd to replace him with Julia Gillard as Prime Minister after Rudd sought to sanction Israel's intelligence agency Mossad for using forged Australian passports to commit assassinations around the world. Kevin Rudd recounts a meeting with Melbourne lawyer and Jewish lobbyist and political power broker Mark Liebler, who since 1996 has been the national chairman of AJAC, the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. The meeting was a dinner at the Lodge, the Prime Minister's official residence in Canberra. This is what Kevin Rudd says happened after he rebuked Israel over the passport and assassinations matter, and he attracted the ire of the Jewish lobby. Now let's hear what happened at that Lodge dinner between Mark Liebler and Kevin Rudd and his advisers. 3 weeks after this dinner, Kevin Rudd was no longer Prime Minister. Julia Gillard replaced him. The dinner was a political kiss of death for Rudd. In 2010, Kevin Rudd expelled from Australia Israeli Mossad security and spying agents for forging Australian passports to carry out assassinations. Rudd recalls what precipitated his political demise. According to now explosive revelations by Kevin Rudd, who is now Australia's ambassador in Washington, Jews threatened him at the Lodge in Canberra. Following is what Kevin Rudd says occurred at the 2010 Lodge dinner.
Out of respect for my parliamentary colleagues, I suggested that we invite leading members of the Jewish community to the Lodge for dinner to discuss the matter further. The dinner was held on the 3rd of June, and I remember the evening well. I sat there politely as Mark Liebler berated me for having committed such a hostile act. I found this remarkable, as I had been a strong defender of the State of Israel from the earliest days of my diplomatic career, and had always been a vigorous campaigner against all forms of anti-Semitism. And for Liebler to attack the democratically elected Prime Minister of his country as he sought to argue the interests of another country was beyond the pale. You do realize that this is Israel's second offense? I said. What do you mean? He asked. They did exactly the same under Howard, got a gentle rap over the knuckles, and promised never to do it again. Liebler looked stunned. I don't believe you. Then why don't you sit down with the head of foreign affairs, who is the former head of ASIO, and I'll authorize him to brief you on exactly what has happened here. I countered. I think you'll find that our response to Israel's actions has been entirely reasonable under the circumstances. Liebler still stared at me in disbelief, and then disbelief turned to anger.
apropos of nothing, he said, "Julia is looking very good in the public eye these days, Prime Minister. She's performing very strongly. She's a great friend of Israel, but you shouldn't be anxious about her, should you, Prime Minister?"
Liebler's sinister Julia Gillard remark was at best an astute observation, and at worst it was a threat, which we all now know came true when Julia Gillard deposed Rudd for the Prime Ministership. Ask yourself, who has such inside knowledge, access, or influence? Liebler was also involved in encouraging Paul Keating to move on Bob Hawke, who hitherto had been a friend of Israel. These people have zero loyalty when it comes to advancing Israel's interests first and at all costs. Liebler's political views have been described as ultra-Zionist. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's ultra-Zionist ruling Likud party wants Palestinians gone from the face of the earth. Since 1996, Liebler has been national chairman of the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, known as AJAC. Defanging Liebler and the organizations he represents is vital to Australia's national security, as these entities peddle Israeli interests masquerading as domestic community groups while they disarm Australians of their own national interests, which are not Israel's interests. This is dangerous at a time when covertly nuclear-armed Israel poses a threat to world peace over its mistreatment of Palestinians and their lands dispossessed by the State of Israel that was Palestine prior to Jewish terrorism of 1948. The legitimacy of Israel as a nation is questionable and only exists because of British patronage of the Balfour Declaration and now US aid and its defense umbrella. Moral support from nations like Australia is consensus support in the global community. That's where Australian Jews come in, ensuring it remains captured for Israel. Australia is unwittingly being dragged into Israel's disputes without the Australian people being aware of shadowy domestic Jewish influence peddling and power broking them into a global morass Israel is causing. This influence extends to removing ministers and prime ministers deemed not to unequivocally support Israel. Liebler publicly criticized the Australian Labour Party's stance toward Israeli settlements and the diplomatic status of Palestine, notably conflicting in public in 2014 with Australia's then Foreign Minister Bob Carr, who was critical of Liebler. Carr became another political victim of the Jewish lobby. Alongside his chairmanship of AJAC, Liebler is life chairman of the United Israel Appeal of Australia and governor of the Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce. He is also a patron of the Victorian chapter of the Australian Friends of Tel Aviv University. Liebler served for 10 years as president of the Zionist Federation of Australia and for 6 years as president of the United Israel Appeal of Australia. Liebler is a past chair of the World Board of Trustees of Keren Hesod United Israel Appeal. He serves on the executive of the Jewish Agency for Israel and holds office as a governor of Tel Aviv University. Jewish interests operating within Australia for Israel covertly have power and influence to shape and guide Australia's foreign policy for Israel at best, and at worst for Australia to remain silent to placate and appease Muslims in a multicultural Australia. We all know silence is consent. That consent condones the land dispossession and genocide of Palestinians by Israel. Prime Minister Kevin Rudd was the second time Jews have deposed an Australian Prime Minister, and not a word in the media has been spoken of the Jewish involvement. That speaks to the power, reach and influence of the Jewish lobby in Australia that operates in the shadows and under the radar out of view of the Australian public. The media holds its nose and looks the other way. The people are oblivious to what's happening. Gough Whitlam was correct. Australian Arabs and the Muslim community's growing presence in Australia was going to be incendiary to Australia's interests as shadowy Jewish power grew and Arabs and Muslims resented it. Jews have been undermining Australia's unity for decades by seeking to atomize the nation with divide and conquer. The Jews' siege mentality fears white Caucasian unity. The State of Israel exists as a refuge for world Jewry. The everybody hates us Holocaust narrative is its religion. From an early age, Jews are conditioned to stick together and divide their hosts to diminish their authority and power. Both the native title movement and the voice referendum had Jewish sponsors when one looks behind the curtain. Divide, conquer and weaken white Australia is the motive using the cover of social justice. Gough Whitlam saw through the mischief. He saw the future if Australia was captured and divided. He warned Australia. That warning must be heeded today. The consequences of that warning are precisely what we're seeing today, with Jewish lobby groups playing victims, playing up the anti-Semitism canard and controlling media narratives with their grievances, while executing spurious incidences of persecution to reinforce and prove their claims. You've seen them spray-painting Jewish-occupied properties and claim it's evidence of anti-Semitism. Australians are now awakening to the ruse and Jewish mischief and menace. Jews must not be allowed to hijack the domestic policy process through blackmail and influence peddling by well-known Jewish mischief-maker power brokers. Australia's sovereignty and independence is at stake. It's the same for America. More importantly, Gough Whitlam's social cohesion warning must be at the forefront of any misplaced government support for Israel. It will create problems in Australia. It's the same in America. We're now awake. Spread what you now know to friends, colleagues, and family to make the invisible visible. Only then can something be done about the Jewish menace in our midst and undermining of Australian sovereignty by a clique of rich, connected and organized, seditious, treacherous traitors masquerading as seemingly integrated Australians who in fact never integrate and are loyal to Israel first. The myriad of Jewish organizations exist on paper alone to give the appearance of widespread community concern and coverage of Jewish and Israel's interests. They regularly form, dissolve and change names like shapeshifters depending on the mission. It's all an illusion by a few to appear as many, and the politicians and media fall for it. It's time IJAC and the Conga line of Jewish organizations, all who have relatively few members, be investigated and be closely watched. This particularly applies to Mark Liebler and his son Jeremy Liebler, who heads the Zionist Federation of Australia. It's a family affair with these two apex Jews for Israel. The Mark Liebler 2020 Monash University Press biography entitled The Power Broker by former Age newspaper editor Michael Gwender is a sordid read of Liebler's life of mischief, menace and political intrigue on behalf of Israel. It's totally at odds with what you heard Mark Liebler say earlier about his Israel lobbying, which he downplays to keep out of the public spotlight. Mark Liebler is a mercurial Machiavellian influence peddler behind the curtain, and Australians need to see him for what he is, ground zero for Israeli Zionist influence over Australia's foreign policy in favor of genocidal Israel, who has total disregard for the international rules-based order. It's an irony considering Mark Liebler is a lawyer and should know better. As an aside, Mark Liebler was a key architect of the Aboriginal Voice fiasco and humiliating Uluru Statement from the Heart. Weaponized to guilt white Australians, to divide and conquer generational Australian cohesion, to make Australia more pliable to foreign influence. Fortunately, Australians saw through the ruse which few knew was Jew-seeded. Watch out for Israel's agents of sedition masquerading as Australian domestic community groups. They're not Australia first, they're Israel firsters. To the politicians and the media, you've been alerted. Act accordingly.
And therein is the John 8:44 problem, my friends. Please share.